As a custom at Living Christ, we always pray for our speaker, our Pastor Donna, Dr. Donna Scapins. So would you all just reach out a hand as we pray for her? Lord, it is so evident that you are here this morning. And God, I just lift up Donna to you. All the words that she has prepared, all the things that she's prepared to say in her heart, Lord, we pray that you would just speak through her this morning. I pray just a spirit of love and power and self-control this morning as she delivers your word. And God, I pray for us as we listen that you would open up our ears. And as we talk about your spirit convicting us of sin, Lord, I pray that we would open the deepest, darkest parts of our heart this morning and be open to your spirit and your working. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, April. Thank you for leading us already this morning in a powerful way. Good morning, Living Christ Church. I can tell some of the students are gone. It's a little more empty. It's good to be here with you today. Again, thank you, April. All right, we have a good day going here. Spirit convicts us of sin. Now, before you just get up and walk out because you're not sure you want to hear this, please stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Oops. This past February, we celebrate and remembered the life and ministry of world-famous evangelist Billy Graham as he passed away at the age of 99. He had a very public ministry. These are some familiar images from his very public ministry over the years. The numbers are staggering. He is recognized and known by many, because it's reported that he preached to 215 million people in live crusades in 185 countries. 2.2 billion people heard him preach because there was multiple communication outlets that he used over the 50 years of ministry. And it is reported that 2.2 million people responded from all over the world to his invitation to become a Christian. I heard from many during this week. There was a whole week of events remembering and celebrating his life, and there were many over that week that said how responding to his preaching affected their family. They would name themselves or their father, their mother, their grandfather. Sometimes whole families were affected by the preaching of Billy Graham. One question that was posed on one of the websites associated with him says, were you one of the millions who responded? And people were encouraged to respond and write in and so on. So were you one of the millions that responded? I was. It was an emotional week for me. So today, though, what I want to do is expand that question. Were you one of the millions? The question really is, why? Why did millions respond? Why did I respond? As we look in John 16 today, and it's page 1047 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. Otherwise, just listen. We're in John 16, verses 7 to 15. It's Jesus talking. He has some final messages, days, with his disciples. And this is the message for his disciples today and his message for us today, starting with verse 5. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things. You are filled with grief, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Just some background information on what is happening there. Jesus is telling his disciples, I need to leave, because if I leave, the Spirit will come. Jesus came to on earth to unveil a kingdom ministry, and his disciples were really thinking he was going to stay, but he wasn't. And so now we see he's moving into his final messages to his disciples. He was telling them in these chapters of John about the Holy Spirit coming so that his kingdom message would continue, so his work on earth would continue, and that he's saying, that's why I have to leave, so that the Holy Spirit comes and that my kingdom continues. And we also see where the Spirit of truth or Holy Spirit will come, as we talked earlier in our series about the promise of the Holy Spirit. We're in this 8-week series from the Sunday after Easter until Pentecost, and that's an 8-week section of time. Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit is promised to come. And so as we focus on the Holy Spirit in these 8 weeks, we see last week where Pastor Jeff talked about the Holy Spirit assures us of God's love. And that was a powerful time for us. We had a teaching out of Ephesians 3 where the Holy Spirit power in our lives strengthens us to know how deep, wide, long, high is the love of God. And there's no end to it. And that was a powerful time where we prayed that over each other. And so today we're going to continue in looking at the Holy Spirit. But today we look at what the Holy Spirit does. What do we see the Holy Spirit is going to do? The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, because he said, they do not believe in me. This is Jesus speaking. And the why, the Spirit of truth will glorify me as he takes what is mine and makes it known to you. Now, as we talk about the Holy Spirit convicting sin, I was thinking, I was a little bit like good cop, bad cop kind of thing. We were feeling really good last week. We were feeling it. We were feeling the love, right? We were feeling the love. But just, again, stay with me, because the context that we heard last week, hearing about and learning and recapping what we heard, prayed over each other about the love of God over us, is the context for today. That's an important piece to remember. There is nothing that you can do that will make God love you more. And in that context, we can then talk about the conviction of the Holy Spirit of sin in our lives. So as we move forward and look at each one of these, the what, the Spirit convicts the world of sin. The word that's used here in Scripture, the Greek word, is taken from a word that means to convince, with compelling evidence. So in some translations, it actually uses the word convince. We're convicted, we're convinced that we have sin in our lives. And there's a conviction for the sin of unbelief, as Jesus was saying here, the sin because they didn't believe in me. And then there's the sins of the day-to-day that we are aware of. And so before we go any further, we have to talk about what is sin. And I know that this isn't always a comfortable topic. I don't remember a lot of sermons over my lifetime really talking about what is sin. And really getting, we talk about it, but then we jump to, yeah, but then this. And we will get there, but it's really important to begin with the groundwork of what is sin. The word that's used in Scripture is used to describe missing the mark, falling short. I see it as, if the perfect God is the bullseye of the target, we're going to miss it every time, because he is perfect and we are not. Sin is a state of being separated from God. It's falling short of his perfection. It's our sin is the reason for what we would say would be a misalignment with God or a disharmony with God. And it is the God's perfection in his law, in his laws is a standard by which the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. So this is the groundwork. When we talk about sin, this is what we're talking about. Missing the mark, being short of his perfection, being out of alignment with God. As we remembered the preaching of Billy Graham, we know that he always talked about sin in his messages. It was part of his messages. And he would always point out that we all were sinners. We all sinned. And he would quote Romans 3:23 in many of his messages. And I don't have the preaching voice that he has, but he says, as the Bible says, you have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what do we do with that? If the conviction of sin or pointing out my sin is the extent of the Spirit's work in my life, we might as well just leave. Because where can we go with that? But I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. And I don't want you to leave either, because it's more than just that guilty stamp on our lives. This guilty stamp on our lives is a starting place. It is not the ending place. And so I invite you here today to the starting place in our lives. There is a difference in how we receive. There's different ways in how we receive the conviction of the Spirit. So as I'm trying to describe this, I was talking to different people, or I read different books and think, now how do you describe how you receive the conviction of the Spirit? Some were saying, well, it's in my thoughts, it's my thoughts, it's my conscience. Something is off, doesn't feel right. Somebody had the terminology holy nudge. Okay, whatever that is. There's a feeling of misalignment with God. Or my inner compass is off. There's like an unbalance. I don't measure up to God's standard. In all of these descriptions, most would agree the Holy Spirit convicts us and gives us a feeling of being unsettled, uneasy. The inner peace may be disturbed. This is part of the conviction of the Spirit. He makes us uncomfortable, and we can feel it. We've talked in the past about how we hear the voice of God, and that's what's happening in the conviction of the Spirit. In this section of Scripture, it talked about the Spirit receives what the Father sows, and that's what he gives to us. The Spirit is speaking for God as he convicts us of sin. He's speaking into our lives, and he isn't doing it just to make us feel bad. He does it to get us in proper alignment to God. You know, in the same way, when we're in a tense conflict with someone else in our lives, there's a little bit of feeling bad, like something's off. It's hard to look at someone eye to eye if you're in a conflict with someone. It's the same thing when we're out of alignment with God. He's drawing us back into alignment with him. But he does that by, first of all, making us feel uncomfortable with where we're at right now. He doesn't want us to stay there. But it's also important to recognize that everything that we hear that makes us feel bad isn't always from God. Some of the effects that we feel are the conviction of the Spirit, but they may also be the work of the evil one. And I use the terminology evil one, enemy of our soul, Satan. These are all terminologies that I find that I use in talking about, if it's not God, then who's the voice over here? So I want us to be able to identify the source of what we're feeling, the source of maybe what we're hearing, if we're hearing something, the source of identifying what the conviction of the Holy Spirit is in my life and when it is not the Holy Spirit conviction in my life. To clarify further, I've identified two tests, okay? So we have two tests that we can look at. One is, I describe it as a false guilt versus a true guilt. And as you walk through your life, I pray that there are some descriptors that I use here that may land, like, yeah, that maybe was false guilt in my life, or no, that was the spirit guilt. So I think it's important to recognize the three means in which we can receive guilt. The false guilt, which is, it's a burdensome, it's heavy. It is condemnation. And three forms of false guilt is we can receive guilt from the evil one. And that's that condemnation. And what happens in that condemnation is that feeling of, I never will be forgiven. I've been too, it's just, it's too far. It's too much. I've been gone too long. It's too big. Because the enemy of your soul keeps telling you that. It's condemnation. I never will measure up. God is forever disappointed with me. I'll never be good enough. And then there's the guilt from others. That feeling of others making us feel guilty. If you really were a good Christian, if you really would, good son or daughter, it's their expectations being placed on us. And that feeling of, I don't measure up. I need to please them, but I can't. There's that feeling of guilt there. And the third one is a guilt from self. Can I forgive myself for what I have done? Where I have failed to live up to my own expectations. And what we do is we condemn ourselves, and then we lock ourselves up in never moving forward past our own guilt. False guilt and shame can often be mistaken as conviction of the spirit. When it's condemnation, it's wrongly interpreted as the voice of God. So we have a false guilt, and then we have a true guilt. And the true guilt is liberating and leads to freedom. And if you compare the two, the false guilt of condemnation or the true guilt that comes from the Holy Spirit that's liberating and freedom, you can see there's a vast world of difference between the two. But it's recognizing there is that difference. And I really encourage you, and I wanted to spend time on this, because I want you to get this. I want you to get the difference. There's a confusion that plays out in our lives by the convictions or the condemnation that we're hearing that really keep us from moving forward into freedom. I see it over and over in lives that I pray with, through healing prayer, through other types of discipleship or whatever. It's that I can't move forward because I can't forgive myself, or I can't move forward because I've just been too bad. The other piece of where you can see the difference is the Spirit of God and its conviction convicts me of something that I did wrong, or I could say convicts me of being bad, or that I did something bad. There, I want to get that clear, that I did something bad. The enemy of my soul will convict me condemn me as a bad person. It'll attack my identity. The true spirit will never do that. The second test is the conviction of the Spirit always is given in the context of God's love. Without God's love, it is condemnation. And so with God's love as the context, we are never too far away, because it's a loving God that's drawing us back to himself. True conviction invites us into the light. When it's of the enemy, he tells us to hide, to have secrets. The shame is a piece of holding us back into telling us we need to hide and have secrets. True conviction brings us into the light. The Spirit's work rests on the assurance of God's love. That's precisely why he's convicting us, because of God's love. The ministry of the Spirit leads to freedom. And it's not only about following rules and regulations. It's really walking in God's love in freedom. So true guilt is the beginning. False guilt is an end in itself. And we can only respond in freedom and forgiveness if we know and we believe we're loved. That's really the starting point, to know and to believe that we are loved. It's really the method that the Holy Spirit uses. He convicts, and then as we respond, he comforts. He's called the Comforter. He comforts. I listened to that invitation from the Holy Spirit through the preaching of Billy Graham that one evening a long time ago. And the invitation was to respond to salvation through the forgiveness of my sins and to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's a very simple message. Again, why did I respond? Why? I can remember as I stood there, there was a deep sense. Now as I look back, I can see I had a deep sense of being separated from God. I don't think I could have said it at that point, but that's really what it was. But I was well aware of my sinfulness. I didn't have a problem identifying that I sinned. I grew up in a church that taught me that I was a sinner, so it wasn't hard for me to feel guilty about my sin. But there was a hopelessness surrounding that realization of my sin. I had always hoped that I would be good enough and accepted to God someday. So when I was hearing this message, that powerful message of the love of God poured out on me personally, and was out of this love that I could be washed clean of my sins and I could know for sure I was acceptable to God. That's why I responded to the invitation for Jesus to be my personal Savior. He had died for me and my sins. He was right here. It was like the scales came off my eyes. I can remember just standing there, just tears coming down my eyes. I felt the arms of Jesus wrap around me for the first time. And also for the first time, I was able to be in the presence of God without feeling shame. It was a powerful, powerful moment. And I heard Billy Graham says, "Your sins will be remembered no more." That's why I responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the context of God's love for me. Gordon T. Smith has a book called The Voice of Jesus, and he says it so well. He said, "Our capacity to experience the Spirit's ministry with regard to our sin is in proportion to our capacity to experience an affective awareness we are loved." Think on that a little bit. How aware are you of God's love in your life? So we have looked at what the Spirit convicts us of sin. I'll wait while he takes a picture of this. It's okay. And now we're going to look at why. Why the Spirit of truth will glorify Jesus and speak for the Father. That's what we read in John 16. Jesus says, "He, the Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and make it known to you. He will speak the words of the Father." So a response to the Spirit of truth regarding my sins means a realigning with God. The Spirit brings conviction of sin because if the Spirit is to glorify Jesus, then our sin is incompatible with that. So as we come back under alignment with God, then Jesus gets the glory because in our sin, it is incompatible. Conviction of sin is for alignment with God. We're not convicted so that we're better people with better behavior, but we're convicted so Jesus gets the glory. How do we live in alignment with God? Christ has loved us and died for our sins, so if we choose to live in his love, it means that we must come to terms with the reality of our sin. Love is great, and yeah, you know, I feel the love. But at some point, we have to come into the point of facing the reality of our sins. and be responsible for it. In the awareness of God's love, the Spirit makes us aware of the need to acknowledge our sin. Part of the message I heard that evening was the simple but powerful basic message that we are sinners who need to repent of our sins so that the Savior, Jesus Christ, will forgive us our sins and we'll live in eternity. And that's really that same message for you. We need Jesus Christ because only He can forgive us our sins. And only the Holy Spirit can help us live the way we should. We can't forgive ourselves, or forgiving ourselves is not enough. Nor can we change our hearts. Nor can we change our lives. We can't make ourselves better. We need Jesus Christ. So this was the message that I responded to. It's the message that millions have responded to over the years. The message of being aligned with God is not something I can do on my own. But the Holy Spirit reminds me of the power and the presence of God's love, so I'm aware that I'm out of alignment with Him. So to align with God, we really need our response, and our response in confession and repentance. So as we're convicted of our sins, and we had recognized that sin was missing the mark. So as we're convicted of our sin, we're moving in the wrong direction. We're headed in the wrong direction. When the Holy Spirit convicts, there's a conscious acknowledgement. Yes, I'm going in the wrong direction. So the confession is followed by decision to turn. And so that's the confession is the acknowledgement of our sin. The turning is really what repentance means. I'm turning away from that direction. I'm turning to walking towards God. You know, on the head of our bulletin today, we have, we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. That is one of the values of Living Christ Church. That is what happens in the conviction of sin. Our lives will be changed by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, or our lives will be changed through the Holy Spirit. Whether our sins are relatively small or great, and you know what, there isn't a scale, but this is sometimes how we like to think of them. Oh, these are little sins, these are big sins. However you want to define them, all sin, they separate us from God. The good news is that Jesus paid the penalty for all our sins and the sins of the world at the cross. If we will repent and turn to Jesus in faith, our sins will be forgiven. Now, the response to that, our response to the conviction, is a two-step part. There's a my part in that. And then there's a God part in that. The my part is not, I need to clean myself up, I need to get myself all in order, straightened out, then I can come to God. No, it's not that at all. That's not the my part. The my part is to be open. Open to what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to me about me and what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to me about who God is in my life. And then through confession and repentance, I can receive God's gift of forgiveness for me through Jesus. And then restoration can begin. So there's the open to the process. And then there's the surrender piece. And thirdly, that comes out of a prayer of confession. That one evening I opened myself up to the process of the Holy Spirit in my life. He revealed truth to me about my sin, but He also revealed truth to me about God's love. And it changed my life forever. That night I laid my sin at the foot of the cross. And I prayed a prayer of confession and to follow Jesus. I have never looked back. Now, that doesn't mean I've always gotten it right, okay? So don't go there. But I have never looked back from that initial step of, yes, Jesus, I need you as my Savior, because I can't do it myself. That alignment piece. But what happens in the Holy Spirit constantly reminds me so that I can come back to realignment whenever I'm going in the wrong direction, whenever confession and repentance needed in my life on a daily basis or weekly basis or whatever, how often the Spirit walks with me. Confession and repentance before a loving God is a beautiful thing. There's life there. It's where you and I can experience freedom in our lives. It's not condemnation. It's not an end in itself. It's really the beginning. In your bulletin are two different prayers. There's a sheet that's in your bulletin. I give you a moment to look at each of these prayers. One is a response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in a prayer of confession to become a follower of Jesus. If you have never taken that step in your life, this is your invitation. This is the same invitation I received as the tears were coming down my eyes, out of my eyes, and I realized I was not only a sinner, but I was loved by God. The second prayer is a prayer for confession and repentance for as you as a follower, but you're aware that there's that something's not lined up right here and that uncomfortableness, and I need to come back under alignment with God. So right now, in the quiet of where you're at, take a few moments. Be open to listen to the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit want you to know here? What does he want to reveal to you about you? What does he want to reveal to you about who God is? And then pray one of these prayers as appropriate in your life. So just, we're going to do that right now, quietly. We have said that there's a God part in this. God is the one who sent Jesus to die on the cross as punishment for our sins so that we can declare forgiveness of our sins. And as a final step here, I want you to declare with me together these words on the screen, because this is truth. God's unconditional love pours out on me, and he gives me complete forgiveness of my sin and brings me into alignment with him. We're going to close with a song called Sweetly Broken. And if you're feeling led, like there's still business to do here, this place up here is always open. It's always open. Please come, pray in the front. Pray where you're at. This is your time to make things right with God. Back in alignment. He's standing here with open arms. He's not condemning you. Silence the voices that condemn you. Receive the conviction of the Spirit that comes in the context of God's love. He's welcoming you back to himself. He's drawing you back. Come back. Be prayerful as you sing. As you're praying, doing business, come up here. This is your space because this is God's space.